Well, we'll try to do a little preaching and a little teaching. Actually, probably more teaching, but there is some preaching that needs to be done today as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you take your Bibles and turn there. We've studied down to verse 11, but I want to start in our scripture reading and even a little bit of preview, or not necessarily review, it might sound a little bit about some of the same things we talked about last time, but a little bit more information about verses 9 and 10 and 11 before we move on to verse 12. So let me read you verses 9 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for a Bible that tells us all about life and about eternity. And certainly we realize that this is not only about life, we see eternity in this passage of Scripture. Pray each person will give real attention to it and realize the importance when Paul back there said to take heed. And we pray that each person will be benefited by our gathering together today in the things that we study. Speak to our minds and hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. There is a, and like I say, we've studied down to verse 11. On your own, sometimes look at the difference, because sometimes it's not really all that apparent. But in verses 12 through 15, there's a warning up to the builders. Take heed how you build thereon, and the warning comes in verses 12 through 15. In verses 16 through 21, the warning is to the defilers. And that's really two different groups. There's a little difference in that. Sometimes you just read it right through and maybe get a little confused about what's going on there. But you can just look at that ahead of time or another time and consider that break that takes place there. Now we're going to continue in verses 12 through 15, which is going to introduce us to a subject that's called the judgment seat of Christ. And you see that there's going to talk about rewards and loss of rewards, so you realize this is a real important subject to study, and there's a sense that there's a warning, because if you start back in verse 9, I want to point out a couple things here. In verse 9, Paul had been talking about Apollos, that he planted and Apollos watered. So in verse 9 it says, we are laborers together with God, ye are God's building, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. What I want to point out to you there is that he's talking in verse 9, we. But it's switched in verse 10. In verse 10 it says, "According to the grace given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." That's an important distinction to get to notice there. Even when we talk about before that switch in verse 9, when it talks about ye are God's husbandry, we mentioned last week that's talking about a farm, that God, there's a planting. That's why Paul was using the illustration of him planting and Apollos watering. We made mention last week how that's important, the order of that, because Paul's the one who went and planted the gospel among the Corinthians. Apollos came along later and could water what Paul had planted there. But the increase is of God, and so it's not, we're not glorying in the man himself, but there is, that order is important. And back when he was using the we there, he's talking about a farming. He's talking about the husbandry, and ye are God's husbandry. When you think about farming, and you think about planting the seed and watering, you're talking about evangelism. You're talking about salvation. Getting the saints at Corinth, get the people at Corinth, the heathen there, getting them saved. When you start in that switch in verse 10, when he starts talking about, he said, ye are God's building, and then he starts saying, according to the grace given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now we start talking about the building. And after a person's saved, then what comes next is being built up, or being is the building, the forming of what God is doing today. It has to do with growth. But it's not just growth. One of the things that you should notice as you go through here, and if I didn't point it out this time, I'll point it out in the next coming weeks, is that Paul's talking collectively here. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And it's not just God is saving an individual, and certainly that's where it starts. But once you get saved, you become a part of something that God is building, and he's building more than just something in you. There is certainly personal growth that's talking about, but there is a thing that God is doing today, and so it's growth, but it's the growth of the whole body of Christ. It's what God's accomplishing today, his purpose in his grace. Now, when Paul says in that verse 10 there, according to the grace given unto me as a wise master builder, the Apostle Paul, when he brought attention to himself there, the difference between him and Apollos, he's the one that is called the wise master builder. We made it clear last time that when the reason he singles himself out as that, he's talking about there's grace given to him, and that as a wise master builder, he has the plans of God for what God is building today, what God is doing today. Those plans were given to him. And when we talk about what God is doing today, Paul has the building plans of what God is building, how he's building, when he's building, where he's building, why he's building, which some of the new guys want to study. That'd make a great outline. Just take those questions and say, what is all each one of those? Because Paul does talk about each one of those things. What is he building? How is he building it? When is he building it? That's important. Where is he building it? And why is he building it? So Paul has the master plans about all that. In what he is building, you get the whole, even in our scripture reading that took us down to verse 15, you talk about him being, he says he's a master builder, so that he's got these plans, and then he gives that warning. He says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So you got Paul, who is got the wise master plans, and he laid a foundation, and others are going to come along and build upon that foundation. And when he talks about building upon that foundation, there is a warning: take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So that's why I say that we're going to be studying about the builders. And there's a sense in which every one of God's people have been called into a ministry of service. And so this isn't just for teachers, although there's certainly a warning to teachers here. But as you minister to others, you better take heed how you build thereupon. And so today's message is just that: take heed. But the talking about a wise master builder, referring to plans, and then he laid a foundation, and then people are going to build thereupon. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then he goes into building materials, verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So six building materials. So you see the whole illustration here. Paul is talking about God building something, and it becomes a visual picture of what God is doing and the need for us to be aware of what God is doing and work accordingly. Now I'm going to give you that warning over and over again in different ways, but you can see that he's talking about God building something, and us better take heed about how we build thereupon. Now the building, talking about building and the word building, there's another word, we don't use it quite as often. I'll explain why I'm going to talk to you about another word for building. It's the word edifice. You can see the word building means edifice, as edifice is a structure, is a building. What was interesting to me when I looked it up in just a regular Webster dictionary, it says a massive structure. Ooh, God's building something massive. Another word for building would be that word edifice, which has to do with what God is building. And it's important because God is building something that's massive, and it's amazing. I did quite a bit of research just looking to see what other people say about this passage of Scripture. And what I found in many different articles I read is they're all talking about, what exactly is Paul referring to about what God is building and what are these materials? It's like they don't really have, they really can't put their finger on what God is building and what why he's using these materials and what they represent. And one person thinks it's this and another person thinks it's that. And I thought, wow, do you realize, take heed how he built. You better know what God is building so that you can take heed and build thereupon. If you don't know what God is building, how in the world can you work be workers together with God and build upon that foundation that Paul laid? So it's you know, this edifice, this building that God is doing, it's extremely important that we know. The clue to it is very clear when verse 10 began. According to the grace of God which is given unto me. There's a revelation of grace that's given to the Apostle Paul, and then he says that he has a wise master builder. He is the head construction person. He's the head contractor who's been given by the architect the plans of what is to be built and how it's to be built and where and so forth. He's been given those plans. So when he talks about grace given unto him, that's a revelation of grace. It really is a reference to the whole dispensation of grace that we're living in today. And so it's important for someone to realize that Paul was given the message of grace, and it's that grace that as a wise master builder, he understands what this edifice is that God is building. And that the point is, he said, I have laid the foundation. And so what Paul has laid, he's laid the doctrine of grace. What we have come to understand and use in our vernacular here at Grace Bible Church, we call it Pauline doctrine. Now I'll explain why as you go on. You'll see the verses. It's the revelation of the mystery of grace that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Now, I don't know if you've seen this or not. Just a moment, I'll show you a verse, but we're going to see several verses. It's the word of God to the Gentiles. Others didn't minister to Gentiles. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So it's the word of God. It's the word of God's grace to the Gentiles in the dispensation of the grace of God, which is this time period in which we're living in. It's this age in which we're living in today. And knowing that truth, we're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, so we know, we get an idea by the grace according to him that the foundation and this wise master plan that he has to do with the grace of God among the Gentiles today. And certainly the building materials there talk about what we're to do. And come over with me. Let me show you this way. Come to Ephesians chapter 3 first. We're going to be back in Ephesians, by the way, a little bit later. Now, so often I say when we read Ephesians, just the beginning of this, it takes no explanation. All you do is read it and believe what it says. Paul, writing to the saints at Ephesus, says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Now, you can just keep reading. It just keeps flowing and flowing. But the age that we're living in today was given to the Apostle Paul, and he was sent to the Gentiles with this message that was never revealed before him. That is, when Jesus Christ walked the earth, it wasn't revealed. The 12 apostles didn't know about it. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul. It's for us Gentiles. It has to do with the age of grace in which we're living in today. Now, so when Paul talks about he's laid a foundation, there are people ministering before him, but he began something new. He laid a foundation. And he warns about us building upon that foundation. He also, when we talk about that building being an edifice and what the materials that we do to build on that foundation is to edify. Look over in verse 12 of chapter 4. That when God gave gifted men to the body of Christ, which now we study and carry on those ministries, verse 12 says he gave it for this reason, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Just like the word building means edifice, the word edify means to build up. So when you talk about be careful how you build thereupon, if he laid a foundation for an edifice and we're going to build thereupon, we need to build, we need to edify, build up other people according to the doctrine of grace, according to the revelation given to the Apostle Paul, and we're going to be held accountable for that. And so we're to build the saints up using what Paul calls in Timothy sound doctrine. So think about it. Lays a foundation, and so there's an edifice, God's building, making an edifice. We're going to participate with God in building up this edifice upon this foundation, and we're going to give an account for that. And we're, so we're going to go out and edify, and when we do, we need to do it with sound doctrine. When you talk about sound, there's a verse, is it in Proverbs, about the craftsmen and the masters of assembly, which really, we have men in our church that they are construction and they are masters of assembly. When these guys do a construction job, it's solid. And they go out of the way, they don't do the minimum, they do exactly what's right, they know how to frame something, so a structure is sound. So when you're like down in Texas, the thing that's going on there, the houses that are sound are going to stand the test of the wind and the rain that's coming. That's what sound means. Come over, let me show you, there's several of these verses that Paul uses. Come to 1 Timothy chapter 1. So when we talk about building thereupon, we need to build upon it, we need to edify others, we need to be built up ourselves with sound doctrine, and edify others with sound doctrine, and we're going to get, and that would be the doctrine of grace, what was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and we're going to give an account for that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul sent, he leaves Timothy at Ephesus, who at one point was a very faithful church, but the faithfulness is slipping away. Notice in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." They were getting away from Paul's doctrine. If they were getting away from what Paul taught Timothy to teach, what were they turning to? Well, look at verse 4. "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies." Look down in verse 6. "From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law." You know, there's a big difference between law and grace. Law was given to the nation of Israel. It's a covenant, a contract with them. Grace is God's unconditional, favor toward us Gentiles. He saves us by grace, and then He keeps us by His grace, and His grace doctrine works in us, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and so forth. We're under the doctrine of grace. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, you're not under the law, but under grace. Here people are going to go, they want to go to fables, stories, get right out of God's Word. They want to talk about genealogy. Well, that's Israel's got a genealogy, a priesthood, and different tribes and all of that. So they're trying to get back to Israel's program, desiring to be teachers of the law. They're leaving Paul's doctrine. So when he said, don't let them teach any other doctrine, teach no other doctrine, notice the end of verse 10, the last four words. Maybe I should add six words. "That is contrary to sound doctrine." Paul's doctrine, the doctrine for us today, is called sound doctrine because that's how a person is established today. That's how we are built up today. And it's the doctrine of grace that needs to be taught. When he says that is contrary to sound doctrine, verse 11 says, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust." Paul was given a revelation. In fact, he talks about himself being a pattern down in verse 16 and the first of what God is doing. God started something with the Apostle Paul. And to people to get away from what Paul, the revelation Paul was given that's for us Gentiles and go back to Israel's program is not to build on the foundation that the Apostle Paul laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not sound. It's going to crumble. It's going to fall. When you come over to Second Timothy chapter 4, the same thing is going on here, only probably on a bigger scale. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He tells Timothy in verse 2 to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. They'll have doctrine. They go to Bible class, they have doctrine, they have a statement of faith, but it's not sound. It's not the doctrine of grace that's for us today. Therefore, a person's not going to be established. They're going to be, as Ephesians says, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people out there that are ignorant in one sense, but actually deceivers in another sense, which if a person isn't grounded on sound doctrine, they're going to be tossed to and fro. They're not going to be established. So again, he goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Fables don't establish you. God's Word, and today the Word of God's grace, is how we're established. He told Titus, I'll just read that verse to you. In chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, but speak the things which become sound doctrine. And that's because the people on the island of Crete weren't very sound. And so he told Titus, speak the things that are according to sound doctrine, that are going to be able to build them up and give them an establishment. So you realize that all these illustrations that Paul is using is important, because he said at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, that every man who builds thereon needs to take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And that warning of taking heed is extremely important. Now, as I said, most people don't really have a complete understanding, what is God building today? How in the world can you be careful about how you build thereupon when you don't know what God is building? So I thought, we went over some of these things last week, but I want to show it to you again so that you have a real clear understanding, what is God building, so that then you'd understand what you need to participate in. Before we leave 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you already learned in verse 9, that not only are you God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And a real important part of that is later when we get down to verse 16, is there's an illustration of something that God is building. He says in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So the building God is building is not a physical building. We're not talking about God building this structure, this place that we're meeting in. We're talking about God building a spiritual building of believers, where He is going to dwell in them just like He dwelt in Israel's physical temple. But we're talking about something God building spiritually here. Now, there's other terms for it. First of all, let's go back to where Paul, his first epistle to us, and go back to chapter 12. We're God's building, we're God's temple. Paul makes this statement, the first time he refers to it is in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. Romans chapter 12, and I'll read verse 4 with it, says the same thing. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now this is extremely important for you to realize, that when Paul starts talking about we, and when he says ye are, well, what is God building? Well, he's building out of the believing Gentiles and Jews today, Jew or Gentile, he's building a single body of believers. And ye are the body of Christ. So that this building that we're talking about is related to the body of Christ. Come over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to take them in order here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 13, he's using the same illustration he used in the book of Romans here. And he says in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And I told you, we're going to be studying 14 baptisms. This is one of the 14. This is not water. It's not talking about you being placed in water. It's talking about you being placed into one body. And watch what it is. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Jump over to verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. God is building a body of believers called the body of Christ. And what's happening today as God goes out, has sent Paul out to the Gentiles, even the Jews out among the Gentiles, he says their circumcision has become uncircumcision, so he treats them just like a Gentile. There's no difference, as he says, between a Jew and a Gentile. But when a Jew or a Gentile believes the gospel of the grace of God, the good news about the cross work that Jesus Christ didn't just die for Israel to set up their kingdom, that he died on the cross as a ransom for all, to pay for all of our sins, not just all man, Jew or Gentile, but everything that every Jew or Gentile ever did, Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for all of our sins and rose from the dead to be the author of eternal life, as it says in Hebrews, but that he might be the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. That he is the one who will declare, and it's by him that we are declared by God the Father righteous. Because if we believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, God said he did. And Jesus Christ put away our sins by his sacrifice. And when we trust that, God gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ and declares us righteous. And that's what justification means. So that what we're talking about here is that out of Jew or Gentile, all who believe the gospel, in fact, the way Paul said that in Acts chapter 13, verse 28 there, all who believe can be justified from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. No one preached justification by faith in your Bible until that verse shows up. And Paul says, all who believe can be justified from all things, be declared righteous just by believing on what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross in our behalf for our sins. And so a Jew or Gentile, as soon as they believe that message, God the Holy Spirit places them into this body, and now ye are the body of Christ. God is building the body of Christ. The reason I'm emphasizing that so much, you won't read about the body of Christ anywhere in your Bible except Paul's epistles. And he mentions it over and over again. Come over to Ephesians chapter 1. He says it in his early epistles. We've just looked at them. And it's more than just what we looked at. I could show you verse after verse after verse. But my point is God began to do something new with Paul. He said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. So what was going on before Paul is what he's going to call in Romans another foundation. It's something other than what he is doing. And when he laid the foundation of what God is doing today, we got to be careful what God is doing today and build thereupon. So that when he starts identifying what he's doing, he uses that term body of Christ that's unique to him. Describing what God is doing today, out of all believers, he's making this body of Christ. Now, as I said, it's only found Paul's epistles, but when you get over to Ephesians and Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, you are getting to, when I said that Paul tells us not only what, but why, you're getting the why in Ephesians chapter, in the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And he'll mention the body of Christ 9 times. There's only 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians. He'll talk about the body of Christ 9 times. You think that's important to him? When you get to the book of Colossians, there's only 4 chapters there, and it's 5 times. He mentions the body more than that, but the body of Christ he mentions 5 times. So that what Paul is talking about here is extremely important. For instance, Ephesians 1, verse 22, he says, and hath put all things, that is God the Father, put all things under God the Son, hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's important, you know, the word church, God, it means called out assembly. God called out an assembly out of the Jewish people. And he's going to build a kingdom out of them. They're going to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's making a kingdom out of them. But God's not making a kingdom out of us. He's making us the body of Christ. And our relationship, he's the head and we're the body. And so we're the body of Christ. Over in chapter 2, in verse 19, we were looking at this last time. We get connected in the sense that God's program for Israel is an earthly program. Ours is a heavenly program. So he says in verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God." We're part of the household of God now too. "And are builded upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." That's the apostles and prophets to the body of Christ. "Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Well, there's the foundation, isn't that? Don't you read about that in the Gospels? The stone which the builders rejected became the head cornerstone. That's the Lord Jesus Christ concerning what he's building out of Israel, this nation. But he's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, that's not us being placed into Israel's program. That's God having a program for Israel on the earth, and then us being built upon the foundation of the apostles, starting with Paul and the prophets that followed. And then God works them both together, because in Ephesians 1:10, he said that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So there's a foundation for the nation of Israel. We were talking about this. You know, I said that when I visualize what he's talking about there, I always say we're the second story. Israel's the first story. It's down here on earth. God's purpose for us is the heavenlies. And so someone asks, he says, well, is there another foundation? Well, a couple ways to look at that. There's only one foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. A two-story house doesn't necessarily have two foundations. It's all built on one foundation. But it's a foundation that's designed for two stories, not a foundation designed for one. And when Paul says, "I laid the foundation," it's like he laid a part of the foundation that wasn't seen before him that will support the second story. I say that just to protect my illustration, but it's important. It's important for you to realize Paul. What we're trying to say is Paul's doing something different, because he laid a foundation because God's doing something different. It's the dispensation of the grace of God. And come over to chapter 4. In verse 4, it's Ephesians 4, verse 4 says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling." I just take the one verse. There's one body. We're called into one hope of our calling. The one body is the body of Christ. By one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Then we got that verse 12 there, where that God gave gifted men for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And by the way, when I said apostles and prophets, notice verse 11, he gave some, what's the order? Apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, pastors, teachers. Apostles and prophets were given to the body of Christ. Israel, they were given prophets and apostles, the opposite order. But my point to you is like, oh, God's building the body of Christ. So we're not to be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, verses 14 and 15. It says, verse 16, relating to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Do you get the idea God's building the body of Christ today? I hope you are, because that's important. If you're going to build thereupon, you better find out what God's building. Over there in Colossians, he uses that. He says in Colossians 3 and verse 15, he says, it's still a couple pages away. I'm going to misquote it. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So we're to be thankful that we're part of the body of Christ. That's what we've been called into. Over there in 1 Timothy, Paul says, well, go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Just verse 15, he says, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." What are you talking about, Paul? which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There's a house today, and we're the house of God. But we're the house of God that's called the church, which is His body. But we're the church of the living God. Where does God live today? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, it'll become apparent in a little bit more. I'll bring the differences. When you're over there in Corinthians, he says, "Know ye not that ye are the body of Christ?" When you get later in chapter 6, he's going to say, "Your body is the body is the temple of Christ, of the Holy Spirit." I say the body of Christ. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's us collectively. God's indwelling us. But He's also indwelling each member individually. So there's a difference that ye, when you look at that. The reason I say that here is we as the church, the body of Christ, we're the church of the living God. Where does God live today in this earth? In the believer. But we're called a house because God has builded us together as a holy temple in the Lord. And we are called specifically the body of Christ. Let me show you two more things, and so I can make a point that I was referring to as preaching. Come to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and the Apostle Paul is talking about his ministry. Verse 15, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God." You know, if you just pay attention, something's been revealed to the Apostle Paul. By the way, I don't know how familiar, it really depends on how familiar you are with the Bible. The Apostle Paul was Saul of Tarsus, who was not a believer in Jesus Christ until Acts chapter 9. So when God gave Paul this revelation, He saved him by grace and gave him a revelation of grace that has to do with the ministry to the Gentiles, and Paul launches that ministry to the Gentiles in the book of Acts, so that half the book of Acts is about Israel, and the other half of the book of Acts is about the Gentiles. The first half has to do with the 12 apostles ministering to Israel. The second half has to do with Paul going out among the Gentiles. But when God sent the apostle Paul out, that began something new, and that's where a foundation was laid, and that's the whole point. Let me just keep reading. He says in verse 17, "I have therefore that I may glory through Christ Jesus of those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare but speak any of those things which God hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem around about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Now notice he mentioned Jerusalem there, but he said from Jerusalem. He actually launched it from Antioch, Syria. But he says, "From Jerusalem around about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." So there was a foundation other than what Paul... The foundation is always Jesus Christ. But the 12 apostles laid a foundation of Jesus Christ in His kingdom and His promises to Israel. Paul laid a foundation of Jesus Christ and what he's building today, the church, the body of Christ, and his purpose for the body of Christ, which is heavenly, Israel's is earthly. So, but I want you to see that phrase on another foundation. And then one more verse, chapter 16, and notice verse 25. He says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you," and that's where we're talking about how we need to be built up, in the right doctrine. "Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel." Paul, when he wrote the book of Ephesians, he says, "After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Nobody went to the Gentiles with a gospel of salvation till the Apostle Paul, and he explains more than just Jesus Christ dying to be Israel's king. He explains the whole cross work of Christ in behalf of all of mankind. So, you learn that from Paul. He says, now to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the second thing that's able to establish you is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. I want to give you an example of preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. You know what the opposite of that is? The preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy. Prophecy is what all the prophets said about Jesus Christ even before he came, and what he is yet to fulfill for the nation of Israel. What was given to the Apostle Paul is what God's doing in the age of grace that was never revealed. It was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And Paul preached the same Lord Jesus Christ, but he preached Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Just so happens, I'm driving in my car, and I don't always listen to Christian radio. I have to confess that. I listen to the news a lot just because I can't hardly stand what I'm hearing on the radio. But I check it out once in a while, and I heard a guy preaching, and I thought, oh, this guy is good. And he was talking about their elders and their church have met to nail down exactly why they exist. What is their purpose? Trouble is, for a long period of my drive, he kept saying, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. And he said, and he was admitting that everything he mentioned is good, you know, like, you know, giving away bicycles and, you know, feeding the hungry and all that. All those are good. He said, but that's not the purpose of our church. We need, what is our purpose? What is our fellowship? What do we meet together? What do we talk about? What do we fellowship around and don't fellowship outside of that? And they came to the conclusion that it's the glorification of Jesus Christ. And I thought, boy, that's pretty good. Almost got it on target. But not quite. Because you can preach Jesus Christ according to prophecy and the glory that will fill this earth, or you can preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's what God's doing today. And the reason that was so important to me to hear is here's elders of a church trying to figure out what they're building thereupon. And they knew it was Jesus Christ, so I give them credit. Thank the Lord. But without the understanding of the revelation of the mystery, well, who is Paul? What was given to him? What is this doctrine of grace? You would build upon the wrong foundation. When we did that addition in the back, we paid an architect to draw the plans for that addition. One of the things is I was concerned with that echo in the fellowship hall. We finally solved that. But I was concerned about it, and so I asked him, did you design other churches? And there's a church 12 mile and Ryan or something. He said, yeah, we did that church. So I drove over there, met the pastor, asked him about what he thought about the contractor and the architect, and he says, oh, we're really satisfied. I noticed there was an echo in his fellowship hall. but anyhow, he says, would you, you know, because when you do this, you get copies of the plans, you know, multiple copies, because you got to give it to every architect, everybody's going to bid any part on it. He says, would you like a copy of the plans? So he gave me, I got this whole roll of plans for the church on 12 Mile and Ryan. What would have happened is when our head contractor comes in, and I said, I got the plans from the architect, and I handed him the plans for that church over there. Especially after the guys came in and plowed the backfield there and poured the foundation for our new building, and then I give the contractor the wrong plans, and he builds thereupon. The wall is not going to sit on the foundation. It's just going to be hanging over the edge or maybe on the inside. It's not going to sit on the foundation. It's not going to be anchored, and when the wind blows and the rain comes, it's going to crash. It's going to go down. You have to build. That's why Paul said, take heed how he buildeth thereupon. How do you know how to build thereupon? Well, go back to that 1 Corinthians. The answer is right in front of us. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, that's Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. You want to build correctly upon the foundation? You go to the Apostle Paul in his epistles. He's got the master plans, and you build accordingly from what Paul has revealed about God's grace. Then you're going to be building an edifice that's sound. And when you talk about edifying people, building up people, because God's making a spiritual house here, you're building up people with the doctrine that they need to know to live in the dispensation of grace. Now, we can go all kinds of illustrations about that. Faith healing is a big part of what people think God is doing today. That's Israel's foundation, because that physical faith healing of the body is what life is going to be like in the kingdom when Jesus Christ comes. We live in the long suffering of God today, and you're not going to prepare people to be established in truth by teaching them Israel's doctrine, building on the wrong foundation, the wrong edifice, the wrong edifying, and think they're going to be established in the faith. You're going to be established according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. It's important to know who Paul is and what God is building today, so you can be take that warning in verse 10, take heed how he buildeth thereupon. One of the things I want to say about that, not only is this foundational, it's basic truth, but it's one that's been overlooked. I realize that many people are in our church, they come a long distance away because they realize the importance of building the right materials on the right foundation. So they come here where Jesus Christ is taught according to the revelation of the mystery, according to the dispensation of the grace of God. It's extremely important. Two things I want to say. One is, I went through, and I didn't even read you all the verses about the body of Christ, but you better know what God is building today. Because I say that with such concern that some of you would understand that when I hear someone diminishing that God is not building the body of Christ, or that's not really what God is doing or isn't important, I have great concern about that. Because I believe that's what God is building. If it's not, we better find out what it is. But that's what Paul teaches over and over again. And so it's really important that we understand what God is doing and then how to build thereupon. Now, the other thing that I wanted to say to you is, we didn't even get to verses 12 through 15, did we? But when we do you realize that it says in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, that he hath builded thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you realize that after you're saved, the first most important thing for you is to know the gospel of Christ dying for your sins and trusting only that, not religion, not aisle walk, not your works, trusting only the finished work of Christ to save you. That's when God saves. He won't save you He won't save you until you just rest in what Jesus Christ did and receive the gift of eternal life, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. The second most important thing for you to do then is to be established, built up in the doctrine of grace, so that you can begin to serve out of that capacity and minister grace to the hearers. Because we're talking about works here. We're not talking about God judging you based on sin. Sin's been dealt with. But you're going to stand, it's called the judgment seat of Christ someday, and give an account of how you ministered and what you ministered to others. And that ministry is called gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. I got 10 things I want to say about that. But right now, I just want you to understand that some of those things are going to get burned. The fire is going to try every man's work. What abides is rewarded. What is burned, you suffer loss. Yet, you're still saved because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. I've been reading the book of Jeremiah, and it gets a little tedious, because I just got done with the book of Isaiah, and it's all about God judging Israel. But Jeremiah, man alive, his prophecies are long, and it's God going to do this, and he's just beaten on the people. But what you get out of that is that the nation of Israel was living as if God didn't even exist, that the word of God doesn't make any difference, that what God said to them, They don't have to believe or receive. It's over and over again. You realize the indifference of the people of Israel who are God, called out to be God's people, and how they thought nothing about what God said to them. But I'm thinking of you now, members of the body of Christ. Do you realize you individually are someday going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Not just me, I am. I'm totally aware of that. But every believer is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The rewards that you receive are going to be eternal rewards, not just a short time. A life of service now is eternally rewarded in the future. A life that's a loss has been no service for God or no proper service for God. It could be that you just live for yourself, like that's what's going on in the book of Jeremiah with the nation of Israel. Or it could be that you wanted to serve the Lord, but you didn't know what God was doing today, and so you went out and built on the wrong foundation. You taught people kingdom truths when it's the dispensation of grace. It crumbles. It falls. It's going to be burned. And when you suffer loss for all eternity. No way to get it back later. We have this life to serve the Lord. Better find out what God is doing and get involved in that. Paul says, take heed. Now he's saying, take heed to the workers. I'm warning those that aren't even working. Take heed. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Wow. That's going to happen. As sure as you're saved and going to heaven, when you get there, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. But if you are a worker for the Lord, you better figure out what God is doing and work together with God to do what be a part of what God is doing, or you're going to see a whole life of sweat and work just go right down the drain and be burned up because it was built on the wrong foundation. Israel's foundation and not ours. Come back next week. We'll talk about those 10 things, about what those materials are. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for your word. Not only do you tell us how saved and how wonderfully saved we are, how secure we are, how sure heaven is as if we're already there. But you also tell us what's going to take place when we get there. And Father, we realize we'll all end up rejoicing. We're glad they're there no matter what status we have in heaven. We'll all be glad eternally that we're there and grateful. But Father, when you say take heed, we better pay attention to this passage of Scripture. Bring us back again next week to continue this study. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Aren't you glad you came this morning?
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Tom, for that wonderful message. Let's stand and sing our little chorus. It's number 77 in the hymnal if you need it. Jesus paid it all. Dismissed.